You're listening to How to Succeed in Evil, the novel, written and performed by Patrick E. McLean. For more information, visit succeedinevil.com. Chapter 10, Cassette Girl. "Happiness?" asked Iphigenia, returning Edwin's disturbing smile with one of her own. "You are concerned for my son's happiness. Well, Mr. Windsor, let us put that concern to rest." And without turning to see if Edwin would follow, she rose and walked to the back of the house. There, on the carefully manicured back lawn, Eustace was doing something unspeakable to a goat. When he saw they were watching, a smile broke out on his moon face. The odd accent fell away completely.
"It's old Bill," he said without a trace of shame. "I sure have missed him."
"I simply cannot imagine how my son could be any happier."
Edwin coughed slightly. This trip was going from bad to weird. Iphigenia cocked her head and said,
"Well, perhaps if he had a stool."
Edwin could resist no longer. "You must be proud."
"Do not bait me, Windsor. If hell hath no fury as a woman scorned, then what can compare to the fury of a grandmother denied?"
It was all slipping away from Edwin. He had expected, well, who could have expected this?
"I believe that I can."
"You can what? Can you reach into men's souls and find the hidden strength there? Can you forge the raw pig iron of human nature into the bright steel of a noble soul?"
The insanity of all this was so real, Edwin could feel it pressing on his temples. "My gifts are of a different nature. Must we endure this?" Edwin gestured toward the joyful and exuberant Eustace, and the rather less than excited goat.
"I have endured this and more. Does it disturb you, Mr. Windsor?"
"It bores me. I have found that vice is most often vice, not because it offends, but because it is wasteful and inefficient."
"Explain to me your plan for my son. How is it exactly that you plan to recreate my boy as an evil mastermind? And please forgive me if I am skeptical."
Edwin dabbed the sweat from his forehead with a handkerchief. He could feel the pleats falling out of his pants, the sweat rolling down his back. "I had not planned to mold your son into an evil mastermind. Not only does he not have the appetite for it, he doesn't have the intelligence for it either."
"That is refreshing."
"It is the truth. You see, when I look at your son," Eustace had finished and was pulling his pants up from around his ankles, "I do not see a tragedy of character. There was no character to begin with. No, I see a tragic waste of resources. There is not a dime of your considerable fortune that he would not squander if given the chance. So what I propose is to allow your son to live the fantasy of being a supervillain, and that fantasy will become kind of an interest payment for the use of capital." "Mrs. Riley."
"Please,"
Iphigenia said, beaming up at him with a look that was part seduction and part dental nightmare.
"Call me Jeannie. All my friends do."
They went inside, and she showed Edwin down a long hallway filled with historic portraits.
"It is the tragedy of my family that we have been cursed with simple-minded men. I confess, I know not why, but it has been the case throughout the generations."
She stopped in front of an ancient portrait of a weak-chinned man.
"This is my great-great-grandfather, Eustabellus Riley, married to my great-great-grandmother, also named Iphigenia. The poor thing was sent over from a poorhouse in France to,"
and here the modern-day Iphigenia wrinkled her nose,
"breed with the settlers. She and others like her were referred to as cassette girls on account of the small chests, in French, cassettes, that held their worldly possessions. Iphigenia was so ugly that her portrait was never made. As the story goes, my great-great-grandfather, Eustabellus, suspected her to be a princess, traveling around the world for adventure or cast out due to her extreme ugliness, I cannot remember which. At any rate, his entire plan for fame and fortune was to marry this hideous ancestor of mine. Needless to say, she was in fact not a traveling princess. She was simply as poor as a church mouse. And this is Eustabellus III. He ventured the entire family fortune to corner the market in whale oil at the very moment that crude oil was discovered. Until his dying day, he held that black oil was a passing fad. Edwin coughed uncomfortably. He was beginning to wonder if this woman had anything to talk about that wasn't buried deep underground or far in the past. Iphigenia continued undaunted. "And this, at last, is Zebediah Cromwell Riley, my father." The man in the picture peered uncertainly at Edwin through very thick glasses. "He was awkward, but I did love him so. He had the exceptional virtue among Rileys of being a halfway smart man. By contrast with the others, he was a genius. He knew just enough to listen to my grandmother. She guided him through the myriad social functions and political intricacies required for him to found and control the power company of Lower Alabama. I suppose it was a solid enough business, but with deregulation. So here we sit and rot, with more money than Croesus, and little more to do on long summer nights than fan ourselves and commit indiscretions." She raised a penciled eyebrow towards Edwin. "My point is that the family line has been held together by the Riley male's uncanny ability to select women far more intelligent and competent than they are themselves. But for the lack of a man with the sense God gave a goat..." Iphigenia paused and considered her words. "Well, perhaps not a goat, perhaps a horse or a catfish, but it's no never mind," she said, slipping her arm through Edwin's. "With an intelligent, capable man around, who knows what might be possible?" "What happened to your husband?" Edwin asked as a form of self-defense. "It was so unfortunate," Iphigenia responded, stifling a small noise in her shawl. It could have been a sob. It could have been a laugh. Edwin could not tell. She turned her face to Edwin's chest. Edwin tried not to think of cake dye makeup grinding into the worsted wool of his suit. "Mrs. Riley, I am tired from my trip." "Oh, heavens, how inhospitable of me. And here I have been talking your ear off with all my troubles. Rest yourself, and we shall plot together over supper."
"I must tell you, Mrs. Riley."
"Tell me what? And I told you, dear man. Please, call me Jeannie."
"My services are expensive. And for a case like your son, where the bulk... well, let us be frank. The whole of the planning and execution would fall on me and my team."
"Oh, get to it already."
Edwin named an obscene sum. Iphigenia laughed at his price. She reached up and caressed his ear with one puffy, jewel-encrusted hand.
"Why, that is no never mind. I am an exceptionally well-dowried cassette girl."
You've been listening to How to Succeed in Evil by Patrick E. McLean. For more information, visit succeedinevil.com.